Thank you for listening to my podcast. My name is Tom Clendon and I am an SBR online lecturer. And this edition of the podcast is focusing on an aspect of IFRS 2, which deals with the accounting for share-based payments. Now, the most commonly examined type of share-based payments is when the company issues options to subscribe to the company's own shares and issues those options to staff in the form of remuneration. Now, before we look at the accounting treatment that the standard requires, I think it's really important that we try and understand the nature of the transaction and some of the terminology and the reasons behind this, because then the accounting becomes understandable. So why would a company want to grant options to subscribe to the company's shares in the future at a fixed price? Why do these things exist? Well, I think there's a number of reasons. First of all, if you're a member of staff and you've got options in the company, you'll want the share price to go up. You'll be motivated. And there's a goal congruence. There's an alignment of interest of the staff and the shareholders. So you're creating that team and the staff, in theory, will work harder. I mean, from the company's point of view, they're granting these options as part of wages, as part of the remuneration package of the staff, normally the senior staff. And the way that it works is like this, and I'm going to make up an example, but it's going to have simple numbers. Let's imagine you're working for a company, a listed company, a quoted company, and the share price at the moment is $10. The value of the shares is $10. And the company issues you with an option to subscribe to the company's shares in 3 years' time at $10. So there's no kind of initial intrinsic value in that, but what you're hoping is the share price will go up. So the exercise price is $10. You've got the right to buy the share in 3 years' time for $10, and the current share price is $10. And that's often how these things are constructed. Now, from the point of view of what happens next is those options are slightly conditional on you remaining an employee of the company. So if you leave, the options lapse unexercised. But if you're still there in, say, 3 years' time, you get the right to buy the share at $10, whatever the share price is. So if in 3 years' time the share price is $15, happy days. You subscribe to the share and you pay $10 to the company. The company gives you a share, which in the market is worth $15. So you've made an instant profit of $5. Fantastic. And if you've been given 1 million of those options, you've now got $5 million. Fantastic. Now, of course, the share price may not go up. The share price may go down. So in 3 years' time, the share price might be $9. And remember, you've got the right to buy the share for $10. So what would you do? Well, nothing, I hope. Nobody would spend $10 buying a share which is worth $9. So the option would lapse unexercised. So from the individual's point of view, what you have with options is a win, no lose situation. So if anyone ever offers you options to subscribe to the company shares at a fixed price in the future, say yes. Yeah, because it's a win, no lose situation. Now, going back to the company's point of view, from the company's perspective, they're getting their staff motivated. They're actually also getting a lower staff turnover. In theory, they are retaining their key staff. Because if after 2.5 years, the share price is, you know, bubbling along at $14, $15, $16, somebody who's got 1 million options isn't suddenly going to resign, isn't going to walk out on the company. They're going to stay because they only get the options if they remain an employee of the company. And finally, from the company's point of view, there is an advantage to this, another advantage to this, which is cash flow. You're getting your staff remunerated. You're getting your staff working hard. And it's not costing you any cash. No cash leaves the company when the company grants options to its staff. Yeah. In fact, the only cash flow that can happen is in 3 years' time, cash comes in. So startup companies, yeah, looking to attract talent, but haven't got a large amount of capital, haven't got a large amount of cash, will often attract staff by giving them generous options. Now, there is a disadvantage from the company's perspective of granting all these options. I say company, I suppose I really mean the other shareholders' perspective, because they can potentially suffer a dilution of their existing holding. If all the staff are sitting on big options and they get exercised, the existing shareholders suffer a relative dilution. So it really has to have their approval. Now, I want to go back and remind you that we're granting these options over a three, and they vest in 3 years' time. We're granting these options as part of a remuneration, as part of wages. And this is a transaction of value. I repeat, it may have no intrinsic value, because if at the date of issue, date of grant, the options are have an exercise price of 10 and the share price is 10, you might say, oh, it hasn't got an interest, but it is worth something. Now, I never know what these options are worth. And that's why I have to ask an actuary. That's why in the exam, an actuary will use a Black-Scholes model, will use some kind of pricing model to value the options at the grant date. And if they say, for sake of argument, that the value of the option at the grant date is $6, then it's $6. And the value of that option at the grant date never changes. And we never remeasure equity. And if it is a three-year vesting period, if it is a three-year qualifying period, if the staff can't exercise the option for 3 years, and we've granted them something, we've granted them a prize, we've granted them a lump of gold that we think is worth $6, then the accounting is fairly straightforward. Two, two, two. Charge an expense every year of two, two, two. Debit the P&L. Reflect the fact that there is an expense, and credit equity, yeah, so that the option reserve, the other components of equity, builds up over time. Now, I have, to keep it simple, ignored the idea that some staff may leave and there's a change in expectation. There's a limit to what I can do on a podcast. I'm making sure you understand the basic principles. So, I will introduce a couple of minor things just before we conclude, and the way that it interacts with cash flow, the way that it interacts with deferred tax. If you have an equity settled share based payment, you're charging an expense and there's no cash outflow. So if you're doing a cash flow statement under the indirect method, you add back depreciation, you add back an impairment loss, because they are non-cash expenses that have been charged in arriving at operating profit. And for the same reason, you'll also add back share-based payments. And the tax man is not going to give you tax relief on share-based payments. Just like you don't get tax relief on depreciation, you have to use capital allowances. We're not going to get tax relief on equity-settled share-based payments as an expense in the P&L. Tax relief is going to be in the future. So share-based payments create a temporary difference. And it's a deductible temporary difference. It's going to create a deferred tax asset. Now, again, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm not going to go into any more detail about that. But the principle is there, that share-based payments have an interplay with cash flow, have an interplay with deferred tax in that regard. Now, there are other types of share-based payments. There can be cash-settled share-based payments, so-called SARs, share appreciation rights. And here, what's happening is the options don't exist, they're not being granted, but merely there's a promise to pay out cash to staff based on the share price. And the accounting here is different, similar but different, because you're dealing with a liability and liabilities do get remeasured every year. But look, I have a 10-minute rule. I'm trying to keep things simple, trying to get you to understand so that you can explain. This is not a big number crunching exam. Of course, numbers can come up, but you've got to understand the basic principles. You've got to be able to explain the basic principles. And I've talked today about equity settled share-based payments, about options being granted to staff as part of their remuneration, options to subscribe to the company's share price at a fixed price in the future. Everybody wins. The staff wins, the company wins. Synergy. No cash outflow from the company's perspective. And the value of the option is determined at the grant date. And that has then to be spread over the vesting period, over the qualifying period. Debit the P&L, credit equity. Thank you very much. My name's Tom Clendon. If you want more details about the courses, the online courses that I run, please get hold of me through my website, www.tomclendon.co.uk. But thank you very much for listening today.